B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero 98.5, the telephone number. You're on Zolak and Bertrand, fourth and final hour.
Watch out, boy, she'll chew you up.
Sure, there you go.
Yeah, she only comes out at night.
Come on.
She only comes out at night.
Yeah.
Hey, happy birthday to Bill Belichick, who turned 67 today.
Texted the big guy today.
Did you?
Yeah.
You sent him a text. Well, happy birthday, coach. Does he seem more or less likely to retire now than, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago?
Less. It's less.
It is less.
Yes.
I feel that way. I feel he's not even close.
Why would he retire?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't if I were him. What a great gig.
The consumption of knowledge, like when he's on the ferry and he's got like both computers up and Linda's like laying, sleeping on his lap, but he's just... like Dan Shaughnessy sending emails, typing away, looking up stats. Okay, here's the Ohio State review. Okay, or same thing on a JetBlue plane. He's crammed in. He's got a little water bottle. He's got his peanuts here. And
he's still at the top of his game.
Like Jeff Fisher.
He's still doing great.
I will never forget. I'll never forget this. When we were in London and that hurricane hit, and we're playing the Rams. It was St. Louis Rams
right
at the time. So Jeff Fisher was coaching, and we're doing the London game. And Virgin Air flew both teams out. This is when they had the big planes. And they had the big luxury, place where you sit, the Virgin Air. What do you call it? Like the Delta Club. It's the Virgin Air Club.
Airport Club, oh, whatever
gorgeous.
It was.
Decked out. And I'll just never forget that New England was on. We were on one side. Rams were on the other. And the Patriots coaches and Bill Belichick. Bill had a pencil behind his neck. They're breaking down game film. Looking at this. And I think, I don't know if Del Rio was with Fisher at the time. But one of the guys knew. I look over, and Jeff Fisher's got his feet crossed. He's got one of those neck pillows. And he's just, he's laid out like this, and he's eating pineapple.
And that's the difference between 8-8 and winning the Super Bowl.
And I go, and
work.
But that's a guy that's guaranteed $42 million. So he's got nothing to worry about. Jeff Fisher has no pressure. Who gives him pressure? What's the pressure in St. Louis at that time? They're not even there anymore. So you're sitting there, you're looking at it. Like, this is pathetic. This is the way one team prepares. This is the way the other. This is why, since how many years ago? 7 years ago that London game happened? We've been to what? 4 or 5 Super Bowls? They haven't been to any. Jeff Fisher's out of the league. That's why one guy works, one guy doesn't. Says everything.
Let's jump to these calls. I got a few more thoughts I think we could share on that. Bill at 67.
Good.
Frank and Worcester on Tiger Woods from earlier. Hi, Frank.
Hi. Heidi was talking about Tiger only coming from behind once. I mean, he's had some great playoff wins in majors. I know they're not Watson and Trevino, but Bob May and Rocco Media had fantastic weeks, and he had to make some unbelievable shots to win those two, as well as others. So I tip my hat to him. I don't know. He'll never catch Nicklaus, but he's awesome.
Okay, well, I think this idea that somehow because it was his only comeback, which I thought, wow, I can't believe
he was down three.
Long.
He was down three at the turn, right?
The idea
down
that it's three. A knock on him, that it was a knock on him for all those majors he won, where he was leading going into the fourth day.
Front runner. That's what Felger called him yesterday.
It's not like Jack.
A front runner.
It's not like Jack.
So effing good.
Who's Jack
that nobody
against?
Could touch him.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not talking about a guy who won once or twice. You're talking about a guy who went on a stretch of just dominance in the sport.
He won seven tournaments in a row in one of his stretches. I mean, it's... And again, I would have given it to Jack yesterday until I heard Felger making all these dumb arguments for Nicklaus.
I think Felger is so wrong on Tiger on so many levels.
That he swayed the
older. They lost me yesterday.
I think he's totally nuts. And you know what? The takes that he had on Tiger yesterday are not new. It's long-held beliefs.
Of course he had issues and personal things and pills and all
that. We argued about Tiger years ago on this.
It is back fused.
I think he's so wrong on Tiger. Wrong.
Have you ever had a friend? Do you know people that have had their back fused?
And you know what
you understand the fusion of the back.
Forget about it's not about the comeback.
It's the installation of rods in your back.
I don't
understand it.
I'm not arguing the comeback. I'm not arguing whether you should think what emotionally you should think about Tiger winning. I'm talking about as a golfer, as the greatest to ever play the game, it is now, in my mind, Tiger Woods. And I thank Michael Felger for making me do the deep dive, so to speak.
Oh, good.
And look at the numbers. And the 140-some-odd tournaments in a row that he played in without missing a cut. He's missed less than 20 cuts in his career. Jack missed 79. Now, he played in about 200 more tournaments, but do the math. It's not even close in terms of percentage. And when we're talking about percentage, let's talk win percentage. Tiger has a 25% winning percentage. Think about that.
That's nuts.
Think about a golfer who wins one out of every four tournaments he tees it up at. Jack's is amazing. It's 18%, but that ain't 25. And what Tiger did against, as the caller just brought up, Rocco Mediate in the 2008 U.S. Open on an 18-hole playoff, I will factor in the fact that he was doing it on a broken leg. I will allow that into consideration.
Yes. Fair to balance that, put that in. You know,
I'll consider that.
Okay,
I'll balance that with the 19 runners-up that Jack had in major championships. And a lot of those he did lose to guys like Tom Watson and Lee Trevino, but he also lost a bunch to a bunch of guys who only won one major championship. So what's so great about that? So now, you lost to a guy who managed to win one?
You know, I love Felger, but yesterday he managed to he managed to say that everybody wilting in the final rounds against Tiger is somehow a knock against Tiger. Like, oh, it was easy because all these guys just fall apart on Sunday for him. Why do you think that is? What?
Yeah.
He gets the credit for that.
The poopy pants.
Yes, you're right.
The intimidation.
Yes, there is the poopy pants out there on Sunday going against Tiger.
Him wiping
his
head,
why that is?
Sweating, chewing gum.
Because he has put that in their heads. He has planted that seed with how good he has been for how long he's been doing it.
And I think that factored in on Sunday. I think Brooks Koepka was absolutely thinking about it when he needed that birdie putt at 18, and he hit maybe one of his worst putts of the tournament, knowing that that was going to force Tiger to make par on the 72nd hole. But Francesco Molinari, I don't think he's bothered by Tiger. Oh. Hell, Tiger had a lead on the back nine of the British Open on Sunday last summer,
and
Molinari went on to win it. So Molinari wasn't put off by it. You know what it is? Tiger's just better.
Yeah.
He's better than anyone who's ever played the game. He's just better.
And they're on 12. They're in the tee box on 12, and they posted, CBS post, Molinari scores from Thursday through Saturday, and it's birdie, birdie, par. And I'm like, he's not going to F this up. He's got the lead. All you got to do is get a par. And he knocks it in the freaking water and just gives it right there. Squeezes that three-shot lead right back. And the three-shot lead was gone prior to that. This is when Tiger took over. But it was it. You knew he won it then. It's game, set, match.
Mike is in Vermont on the Red Sox. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, happy Swihart Day.
Hey, on Swihart. I mean, you guys act as if they didn't give him a chance. Beetle, you said he's been with him for 5 years. He probably cannot catch, just like Chance has in New York.
What's his position? They put him in the outfield. How many positions has this guy played? How many times?
They don't need him in the outfield.
How much you need to see Jackie Bradley Jr.? How many opportunities has that guy got at the plate and allowed to thrive?
Sandy Leone is more important to the Red Sox than Swihart. Also, you guys talk about pitchers being prima donnas and wanting to throw to Leone or throw to their catcher. What's the difference between Brady wanting to throw to certain receivers and not wanting to throw to others? Is Brady a prima donna?
Is this Blair in Maine? You sound a lot like Blair.
No, it's Mike in Vermont.
This is Mike up in Vermont. You guys just make me mad sometimes.
Well,
the Sox
didn't matter.
Know what to,
how many receivers can you name that Tom Brady has had as his quote-unquote favorite over the years?
My point is Swihart cannot catch. That's why they're letting him go. They signed him as a catcher.
What leads you to believe that?
Catch. Pardon me?
When you watch him, you think that he's incapable of catching at this level?
Yes, sir.
Would you rather have Pierce or Swihart?
I know he's had some bumps along the way. I don't think he's incapable of catching, and I think he's going to go on to catch somewhere else in the major leagues.
This might bite you in the ass.
It's just like Sanchez. He cannot catch either. He can hit, but he cannot catch. I know what I'm talking about. Oh. And the Sox know what they're talking about. You guys upset me. I got to go, bud.
Just come in and do the show. It's a long ride from Vermont every morning.
I'm all upset.
He's so mad. Thank you. Thanks.
I love it. Love the passion,
Thanks
Mike.
Thanks for calling, though, Mike.
Got a sore throat from yelling at you guys.
Mike, don't be a stranger.
We got a little calls now. Let's go. Let's get
don't be
calls.
A stranger. 617-779-0985.
What are you going to do?
More on Swihart, more on Tiger, more on the Bruins next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
You guys upset me. I got to go, bud.
Thanks, Blair. Tuka, 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 tuka.
That was Mike in Vermont. Now we've got Mike in the car on the Bruins. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Mikey, doing well. What's up?
All right. I just wanted to comment on Zoe's comment about there being three different Bruins games or hockey games over the past, the beginning of the series. And
so I felt like I watched three completely different games.
I think it's really two games, and, you know, this is going back to, you know, growing up and playing youth hockey, sort of like basic fundamentals of hockey. When you were outmatched on speed,
yeah.
there's only one way to beat a team that's definitely faster than you, and
beat
it's to
ass.
Play physical and to slow them down.
Yep, beat their ass. So
game one was type one, where you saw them burning us on the wings, you saw Z getting turned all the time. We just had no answer for that speed until game two. And I think what you saw last night was a hybrid. After Tuka fell and hit his head, and whatever you want to categorize that.
Oh, the McAvoy incident?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, so I know he's done that a couple times.
How many times is that going to happen?
Yeah. So I mean, but after that, you saw those guys give you 8 or 9 minutes in a row of really good physical play, turning the puck over, and, you know, it wasn't anything glamorous. But they made opportunities, and there was nothing for Toronto when we were putting the body on them. And that's what happened at the end of that game, too. You got to play 60 minutes of that, or you can't beat that team.
Yeah, and I mean, I last night felt a little bit like game one. But at least last night, it seemed like at times you countered and you had something. You responded. You never responded in game one. Game one got away from you early. That first period, away from you early. Last night, that's a game. And I know I got on Tuca too, but at times you're like, Jesus, when they play like crap and they feel like they got their feet stuck in cement, I don't know, you get like, man, just stand on your head just a little bit more. I know some of those goals weren't his fault last night. I understand that. Was that bad for me to want him to get a mitt on it or two? Or just a little deflection? Just squeeze that post a little more so it goes off the post, maybe off his shoulder? That's all. I'm not telling you to see everything. I know he can't. It's impossible to ask him to do that. But isn't that what, at this time of year with that sport, really details that you need that out of your goalie? That's all. Just stand on your head one night. Just one night. Just to take a 2-1 series lead in their building to shut that whole thing up. Now they get juice up there. That city's jamming right now. Now you got to come out flying like you did on Saturday night and punch them in the freaking mouth tomorrow night. Is it tomorrow night? I'm confused. Tomorrow night. Celtics 2 tomorrow night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Jesus. I got to do this tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Back and forth, back and forth.
Chris in Hartford. Hi, Chris.
Step, snap.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
What's up?
Jesus. Hey, listen, you know, Blair from Maine, he is spot on, and I'm sorry to tell you guys. You guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. There's a lot of things you don't know you're talking about. Your personalities are terrific.
Thank you.
But you have not a clue
yep.
about catching. The only thing that I can say with Zoe is, Zoe, when you have a center – that you like.
Yes.
It's not about throwing to the receiver.
It's his ass. I'm telling you, you're right. You're bam.
That's how close the relationship between a pitcher and a catcher is. And Swihart was brought up as an athletic kid, and he was supposed to hit, and he didn't hit. And if he's not going to hit, he's not going to go up and make a mockery of even calling one pitcher.
You're totally right.
Cause so much. Hold on.
Do you understand? The reason I'm talking about this, I'm listening to Tony Maserati and the baseball reporters talking about the problems with Swihart. And Maz is breaking it down over the course of the last 2 weeks, saying it's about the mitt location, or it's how he moves it, or this is slow. So I never played the sport. I mean, I did at a young age. I never played at that level. So a guy that covered it, that's where I get a lot of my opinions from.
I was a catcher, and I hit.
Chris, let's summarize this.
I don't care about that. No one cares about great that. Defense.
Chris,
you know what I mean?
Chris, do you think the pitching staff's problems right now are the fault of Blake Swihart?
When you come into camp and you're in the pen, it doesn't even matter the game. Swihart's had 5 years of catching in the pen.
Catchers
are born; they're not made. Have a great day, guys.
Okay. He hasn't been catching for 5 years because they moved him to the outfield.
A hit and run. Now
he didn't catch for years in the middle of that. He hasn't been catching this entire time.
From a comfortability standpoint, he brings up a good point here. So my roommate in Maryland was a guy by the name of Frank Namath. It was Joe Willie's nephew. Frank couldn't block anybody. He was a smaller guy, but he had a great ass because my hand could go underneath it. I could take a snap with one hand from him. They ended up playing this other center by the name of Mitch Suplee. Younger kid, much more burly, good run blocker. He's a grader. I'd put my hands under, and I'm literally creating a ball like this because he's throwing it in my lap every freaking time. Every snap, I'm crapping my pants wondering where the ball placement's going to be. I could put my hand under the other guy, take one-handed snap, and it's about my mentality, and maybe that is part of that with these catchers. I hope to God that these catchers, they don't sit there. I mean, the pitchers.
Yes, you're all mental.
I hope those pitchers don't sit there and say, well, you know, it was really a lot better last year, Skip, with Sandy Leone, and we need him back.
Nick Cafardo wrote this last June. Every day I sit with scouts from other teams, and they all want to know one thing. Can Swihart catch? Some of them watch Swihart as a minor league catcher, and most give him a good chance of being decent behind the plate. That's what they said about him at the time. And then the story went on to talk about how he caught Steven Wright and how he prided himself of being able to catch that, you know, floating knuckleball from Steven Wright. One scout said that while Swihart will never be mistaken for Pudge Rodriguez or Yadier Molina, he is intriguing. Quote, he's so athletic that he gives you a completely different look back there. Mm. He never filled out and got stronger like you see with a lot of catchers, but he's just different. He's maintained his athleticism. He can run. He can hit. So if he gets to play and he gets the experience and he shows that bat that we all know he has, he's going to be a guy that teams want. You just don't see that athleticism in a catcher anymore.
You familiar with Chris Hatfield, right? So it's a Sox Prospects.
Surely James Hatfield?
It's a website podcast.
I know Sox Prospects. Yeah, okay. I've read stuff on that site many times.
Here's Chris Hatfield's tweet. Part of a long string thread.
Okay.
Blake Swihart is not the reason a fastball goes middle and gets crushed. If you're an MLB starting pitcher and need a catcher binky, that's your problem. Grow up and learn to execute a game plan.
Did Hatfield catch? Is he a catcher?
Yeah, but Chris, you weren't a catcher, so you really can't say.
I don't know that he's qualified to speak on it. I don't know that these scouts that spoke to Nick Cafardo are qualified because I don't know if they caught.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's not unique.
Good to
the
know
Red
that
Sox.
We have lovely personalities, though.
That's very nice, but that keeps people around, you know, to hang on for.
They never gave Swihart the chance to do the job. They never gave him a fair shot.
You know, who gets
they hose this
not
guy.
A catcher, do you get it?
Do you know who needs their own catcher? Knuckleballers. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to bring in Doug Mirabelli and fly him in.
Yeah, Beckettino went too.
No, he didn't. That's
did
the
he?
Point. No, of course he didn't.
I thought he did.
He wanted one.
What else that
you got to get someone. That's it. Guys who can catch a knuckleball, I view them as a unique talent behind the plate for the knuckleball pitcher. Everything else should be viewed with a great deal of skepticism when a guy needs another guy behind the plate. When you're just a pitcher. When you're and as great a pitcher as Chris Sale is, he shouldn't need a specific guy behind the plate.
We'll find out soon enough.
Bobby's in Woburn. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, Ben. just wanted to touch on Sandy Leon. I believe you're going to see tonight Leon call a great game, and I think Sale is one of those guys. I really think he's one of those guys that need that sort of, like, blanket. You know what I mean?
Well, some do. That's a fact.
Yeah, and that's on Sale, is what I would say.
Right.
Yeah, and Leon, by the way,
whether it's right or not,
Leon's a good catcher. He can't hit his weight.
No. Yeah. Is this lineup hitting?
Can't do it. He batted 177 last year.
Is this lineup hitting? Is this lineup hitting to where you could cover his ass the way you did last year?
Well, no. In 2018, you're good. You can make up for your catcher batting 177.
Thank you.
He's had 25 at-bats in Pawtucket. He's batting 120.
In Pawtucket.
In Pawtucket.
He's batting 120 at AAA.
Three hits.
Great.
Well,
and they let the athletic switch-hitting catcher, who can hit, walk out the door.
The one with most athleticism. Yes. The one with more upside.
I guess you got to give the guy his binky when you give him $145 million without seeing him throw a pitch this year. I guess that's just the corner the Red Sox have backed themselves
into. Get Johnny Bench back up here. Call him back up. Let's go.
Get to headlines. More of your calls are coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Kevin is in Canton today. He had a thought on Tiger Woods.
Kevin!
How we doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I'm 60 years old. I grew up with Jack Nicklaus. He was a class act. He did all the right stuff. He was an ambassador of the sport. Everybody's making a big deal about how Tiger made a big comeback. Not really, because Molinari dropped six strokes on the last round.
Tiger has nothing to do with that, huh?
No, but I'm saying is Tiger's never had a comeback that he wasn't leading after 54 holes.
Right.
Okay, Tiger's
going to make. Well, he did on Sunday. He wasn't leading after 54. That's the first one.
No, but I'm saying is if Molinari didn't get to all those two double bogeys and two bogeys, there were four bogeys.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm saying is it wasn't Tiger. Molinari screwed up.
So you're saying Tiger didn't win. Everyone else lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dummy.
Okay, couldn't you say that about every single golf tournament ever played?
Absolutely. But
okay,
he's not.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
So wait a minute. Yeah, buddy.
I mean, it wasn't like
hold on here.
He went two over. Molinari went two over on Sunday.
So he's got to think then the Patriots didn't win that Super Bowl, that Atlanta lost it.
Molinari beat Tiger last year at the British Open. He's not put off by playing with Tiger. Tiger had the lead on the back nine Sunday. Two majors ago.
I'm telling you, it's generational. It's generational. I'm glad he said I'm 60 years old and Jack Nicklaus was the man. Because in that group, if that's what you grew up with, you're going to defend
Jack
him.
Jack hung the moon.
Yes. Right.
Younger generation is going to go Tiger. The older generation is going to go with Jack. It's so simple. It's so easy to figure out.
This is like the Sports Hub Golf Club. I tried to get a Jimmy Stewart to play a sounder yesterday. He wouldn't even play it. Like, I thought it was just like 4 hours of golf talk.
Oh, like that. Like that.
Yes.
Off the tee. Yeah. Birds chirping.
Yeah. Why is there seagulls in your promo?
Well,
are you playing on the beach?
You're playing on the beach?
Kiwa Island.
Beach course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad.
There's a couple Cape courses
right?
down there in the water.
Yeah, that's what
Cape
it is.
Cove of Falmouth.
Yes.
It's generational. It's got to be.
CGC.
Here's another thing. By the way, we said yesterday, much of Tiger's problems self-induced, right? His problems with substance abuse, his problems with womenizing,
that doesn't even do a physical.
His life, personal life, falling apart. In spectacular fashion, his wife divorcing him, everything that played out publicly with that case. However, I think what gets lost in all of that is that if you're talking about a comeback for Tiger, number one, take all that stuff out of it like it never happened. And it's still impressive that he won the Masters and won another major so many years after his last win. And then why can we not factor in the physical things that happened to Tiger with the knee and with the back and the things he has dealt with physically? That has nothing to do with him having his issues. Does it?
No. It's the back. I mean, I've had friends that have had careers end because of back fusion. Just, you can't play anymore. Put Roger back. We're fusing vertebrae together. Fusing.
No, to hear Felger.
They barely walked. They can't stretch.
It's because he was on steroids and then he got off. And that somehow resulted in three microdiscectomies and a back fusion.
I don't know. I could see if you could say he tore a ligament because he was on steroids.
That was perhaps the most.
I could see that.
The most obnoxious thing about the whole thing yesterday was it was a conversation about whether or not it was, in fact, the greatest comeback in sports history. And somebody around here turned it into Jack is better than Tiger. Like, well, now you're talking about two different arguments. Now you're talking.
Well, but that argument is actually back on.
It's a different argument,
though.
It's a different argument.
It's a completely different conversation.
The argument was dead.
And quite frankly.
So, by the way, if you believe Tiger is a steroid guy, right? Had Anthony Galea as his doctor up there in Canada and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Why do you think he was alone? Why would you ever assume that anybody in any sport who's finding a way to cheat and living a better life through chemistry would be alone in that quest?
Well, Lance Armstrong was the only cyclist to use
Bad example.
Mark McGwire was the only slugger to use steroids. Okay, another bad example.
What about
Hold
a pitcher?
On. I'll think of one in the history of life in this world. No, I guess I can't because there isn't one.
No, he got so far ahead of the field because of the drugs. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Then why?
We got Patriot Hall of Famer coming up. You could vote for it. I got busted for four games on subs.
Everybody
on.
Was doing it.
Had it sent to his house.
He's just better. He's better than everybody else.
How about that? Patriot Hall of Fame. Harrison, Vrabel, or Seymour. Pretty good list to vote from.
A hard pick there, but the pick is Seymour.
Seymour.
Thank you. I rest my case. Yeah. Richard Seymour. Bill Belichick, 67 years old today. Asked the question earlier. Is he closer to retirement than two or three years ago, or is he further away? And it feels like he's further away, which is crazy to say that. And I would say the difference for him than other guys that have been his age, most notably, I think the guy that always comes to mind for me is Tom Landry with Bill Belichick, because I think they are so similar in so many ways. And I know that Bill Belichick has a lot of respect and admiration for Tom Landry. By the time Landry was done, he was in a spot where his team and his owner, prior to Jerry Jones getting there, was afraid to fire him. Didn't feel they could fire him.
Chuck Nolan went down that road, too. So, you know, long tenure.
Sure, throw another name you could throw
just
in there.
Consistent.
But the game had passed them by.
Yes, the game passed Landry and Chuck by.
Yes.
I don't think that
has happened for Bill. It may happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
I think the turn on of trying to recruit the different type athlete, making them fit your system and your system adapting to what they do best.
But that's that is a Landry principle.
It is.
The system is bigger than any one guy. The system's bigger than everybody.
And Dallas has had everybody in the computer age where they had the first computer programs where we can put them in and say, look at this. We can put all our third down numbers in and it sends us a spreadsheet. This is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that led to them doing some stupid things in the Landry years. Like, oh, let's have two quarterbacks and rotate plays.
Oh, and you have two.
When
you have
Roger Staubach as your guy. What are you doing?
He needs 68 wins to most all time to pass Halas and Shula.
68.
That's 12 a year for 6 years.
Jim?
That's not happening, probably, right?
I think it's not out of the question. I think it's going to be very difficult, but I would never count him out. On average, 12 a year for 6 years?
Yeah, he doesn't even have to average the whole 12. It's like 11 point something per year for 6 years.
What happens if you throw in a couple of 14-win seasons? Don't all of a sudden you feel like it's closer, like it's more attainable?
Yep. 5 14-win seasons gets it done.
That's a lot.
God, this is hard. This is like when Love came in with the hat that day, and you look at him differently, like a coach.
Over the next 5 years.
So if he were to go six more years, he'd be 73 years old. Do you think he can do it until he's 73?
Yep. No.
I think he can. Now I don't know if he's going to have the success and he's going to win that many games. But if he's good at doing it now, well, how many years does he have left? Does he have 5 years left, or does he have three years left?
I think he has 3 to 5 left. Realistically.
And so if you think he can do 5, why can't he do 6?
Because then you're going to be you're going to get to the point where you're going to be transferring into a different quarterback to where you're not going to be able to pull off that 11.5 or 12 average. It might be 9. And that number comes back.
You never know who the quarterback's going to be.
So he obviously has the most Super Bowls. Halas has 6 championships as well. Paul Brown has 7 championships before Super Bowls. Maybe he's going for two more to pass Paul
Yeah,
Bounce.
That's what it is. Couple more Super Bowl wins.
He probably doesn't care about the wins list. He probably cares about the list, the champion list.
Well, that's a better list. That's a better list to be at the top of.
How many cars can Loth Park, you think, in 1 hour? Like, you're flipping the keys, like, if he's got a hustle. I'm going to go...
I'm quick, short space.
47? 47? It gives him about a minute, half a minute break in between.
Yeah. How big is a lot?
He came in with that hat that day, and I'm like, you look like a coach. Now he looks like a car parker. I can't look at him.
I mean, is it a big lot, or is he going to have to maneuver and, like, get really close in order to fit cars?
I think he should wear a tie every day now. I think he should wear a tie every day.
Is he parking a big, spacious lot out in the suburbs, or is he parking
cars
like...
You're jamming him in. Pretend he's working at, like, Marquette's down there in Cranston.
I got to remember Cranston, right?
So you take me to Mr. Sid's, I'll wear a tie every day.
There you go. That's a deal.
You only get, like, one pack.
That's a deal.
We need to get to where you get multiple ties.
I like that look. You know, there were some radio companies back in the day that started insisting that all on-air personalities, these were, like, music stations. Forget the company. It was in the 90s.
You're talking about leather ties?
You had to wear a shirt and tie.
Leather ties.
Work every day. Present yourself like a professional announcer.
You have to, like, cup your ear when you talk to the microphone?
So you'd walk into a rock station like WBCN wearing a shirt and tie?
It was a country station. It was in Lansing, Michigan.
Also
they were the ones
stupid.
I knew.
Carter Allen.
I like looking at Jim in a shirt and tie. I think Jim should wear a shirt and tie every day.
You provide him, I'll wear him.
He looks professional, man.
I'll give you some ties.
Look at him. I have tie. I'll give you. Can you tuck tie tie? I tuck tie. Jack tuck tie well.
Jack can't tuck
Jim,
tie.
Jim tuck tie. Jim tuck tie. Come on, let's get it back.
One more segment. We're not doing today's takeaways today. Right. We're going to get to another segment. We'll have time for more calls. So stay right here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Awards.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
All right, time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It continues to make losing weight easy and now offers optional gourmet prepared meals for Awaken 180 clients. That's right. Set up your free consultation today.
All right. We've got some time to get to some more of your calls before we depart. We don't have takeaways from today. Sort of a disjointed show. Thanks again to Ty Anderson for helping us out.
Class
Thanks
move.
To Hardy.
Glad to have him.
Appreciate that.
Especially
Appreciate
Hardy.
You staying back.
Yes, sir, boy.
Let's go to... Steven, who's in Salem on Blake Swihart. What's up, Steven?
Well, guys, great show, by the way. I know it's a short show, but great show. I'm so happy that the Red Sox have finally answered their pitching problem, the starting pitching problems. That 7.1 ERA, the most runs let up in baseball, earned runs. I'm glad that they finally found the answer to it. They can scapegoat it's Swihart's problem. Let's bring on Sandy Leone and his
bring him on
25 a pit. At bat down in Pawtucket. And by the way, guys, any coincidence that you think that they push back Sale an extra day and all of a sudden his binky is coming up from Pawtucket to catch for him and probably one of his biggest starts in a Red Sox uniform because he's never caught the kind of questions around what he's going to live up to until this year, till the start. Any coincidence that you guys
nope,
think?
No, I think that is not a coincidence at all. I think that, as you're saying and as you're suggesting, Steven, is absolutely true. They pushed back Sale because they knew that they were going to bring up Sandy Leone just for him, for his start tonight. And I think that's the unfortunate part, that they're going to try and scapegoat, as you said, Blake Swihart for the problems. But I'd also like to know what's going to happen to David Price the next time that he goes out and he pitches. Who did he pitch to the other night?
Hold on. Just let me check.
Was that Vasquez or was that... oh, no. Swihart came into that game late.
Right.
So he wasn't catching. That was a Vasquez one.
Yeah. Boy, wouldn't it be something if this really has to do with Sale? You know, the sad part is, like, nobody's hitting. Nobody. Nobody in that lineup is hitting the ball right now. And this guy's going to be made to look like the scapegoat to turn something around. Keep saying it. Waiting for the Elixir series, right? Here comes that crap team in. Here comes that Toronto crap team. Here comes Baltimore over the weekend. And you split with them. You freaking split with them. What are you going to do if you go down and you got a team like the Yankees that's got six guys out? What are you going to split with them?
We're going to find out.
We'll find out.
Paul's in New Hampshire. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you today? I'm going to touch on a little bit here. Great for Tiger. It's awesome. Good for the sport. I'm not a real big golfer. But I was thinking of Doug Flutie with the Hail Mary was a good comeback thing. But I'm going to go to the Red Sox here. Basically, I don't know if you guys are aware, in spring training, out of all of our five starters, only one of them pitched eight innings in a preseason game, and that was Porcello. And actually, he's pitching better than most, and Rodriguez pitched a good game, okay game. But I think if it wasn't for Mitch Moreland, we would have lost almost every game, except for maybe one. And also, they're taking Vasquez and putting him on second base.
What do you got in the background there?
Is because we need him to be there because we need someone to hit some runs because I think they burnt their bats from last year because they can't break a pane of glass.
Okay, all true. Offensively, they're struggling right now. Mookie Betts struggling right now.
Struggling.
I don't care about them struggling.
I think Pedroia looks good at a leadoff spot, though. I think that's a spot that could stick.
Well, the fact that he's DHing the other day, I hope that doesn't happen again because he's not hitting. Well, I mean, the other day they needed bodies in the lineup.
The problem is you had torrential rain, and if you don't want him to play the infield, I understand that. On a guy that's had some chronic knee issues. Yeah, that's normal. Yeah. So here and there, when you got some bad weather rolling in, you get a guy, becomes a spot DH guy. Yeah. Stick him at the top of the lineup, see if that shakes it up. Didn't work. You lost 8-1. 8-1. The bad team. He didn't get it going. He didn't set the tone.
Now it's out of New York, so.
Yeah.
Two games in New York. Short series.
Figure it out.
First one tonight at 6:35. Early one for you.
All right.
6:35.
Hardy, good job today. Thank you. You and Ty Anderson. Excellent.
You're welcome. We're back at it tomorrow. We are going to start at 10 tomorrow.
We are.
We are going to start on time tomorrow.
Normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything will be back to normal.
I think Jim Lausch will wear a tie again tomorrow.
I think it'd be nice. A nice good touch.
Park my car.
It does look good. Felger Mazza coming your way next here on the Sports Hub. Stay tuned for that. I'm sure they'll have plenty on last night's Bruins game. And reaction to Blake Swihart getting DFA'd. They're on the way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports Talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near point now, Pasternak. Shoots, deflected, and it sails behind the net. Zaitsev didn't get much on it. 9 seconds left. Far point now, Marchand. Not a lot of time. Pasternak with five. Walks in right in the net. Krejci fires. Pasternak shoots. Blocked. Rebound. Blocked again. And the horn sounds. The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Both of those blocks were by Marner out in the high slot. Tavares had no stick. Marner got down and blocked the first one. Came right back to Pasternak. Tried it again. And Marner got a piece of that one as well.
The Toronto Maple Leafs have taken the upper hand in this best of seven series. They win game three. 3-2.
All right, let's open with this. What are your thoughts, Maz?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.